Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus doesn't refute these words of disgust from the religious leaders. He lets them stand. He even reinforces them. Immediately after their words, he tells them three parables about lost things and about the joy of those who found them. Each of the three parables begins in sadness, when something of great value has been lost, and each ends with what was lost being found, and there being great rejoicing and celebrating and a meal with friends and neighbors. The first of those parables is the shepherd who loses one of his 100 sheep. He leaves the 99 on the hillside and he goes in search of the one, and when he finds it home, he rejoices and he calls together his friends and neighbors to celebrate and have a meal with him. Second, a widow woman loses one of her 10 silver coins, the only money she has to live on. She lights her lamp and cleans her house until she finds the coin. And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, for she had found what is lost. Third is the story about the father and his two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that falls to me." He might as well have said, "Father, I wish you were dead." There was no argument from the father. The text simply says, he divided his living between them. The younger son didn't wait very long to go see the world. He gathered his possessions, sold the land, and took the money. He went into a faraway country and he squandered everything in loose living. At the same time as the money ran out, there came a famine in the land. He made himself an indentured servant to another man. He had to feed unclean swine and reject his very religion. And there was a great hunger in the man's belly for what was missing. He finally came to his senses. But like many Christians today who plan and scheme and try to bargain with God, he began to plan and scheme and bargain his way back into his father's house. He said to himself, "If I just go and say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, treat me as one of your hired servants.'" This is how many people think the gospel works. "I'm a sinner, God, but let me work it off. Tell me what I must do, and I will do it." This is the start of repentance, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is what the father in the parable did when he saw his youngest son coming home. Though the son was dirty and unclean, though he had wished his father dead and wasted his goods and possessions, still, from a long way off, the father sees him, and he girds up his loins, and he runs to receive him home. He won't even hear his plan of becoming a servant. He stops the son only at the words of repentance. He receives him not as a servant or as a worker, but as his son. That is the gospel. No conditions. "This, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and he is found." There are many things that can be learned from these three parables. One of the most important is that your Father in heaven will always receive you back with open arms and with no conditions. Another is that there is real joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. The Father's love, though, for his lost son offended his oldest son. And that oldest son was unwilling to forgive or rejoice that his brother had returned, and so his brother would not enter into the feast. It was Jesus' display of his father's love by receiving sinners that also put off the religious elite and cause them great offense. They did not understand how this one who claimed to be from God, who claimed to be God's holy Messiah, could surround himself with such coarse sinners and not condemn them, but instead be gracious to them. They were not willing themselves to forgive because they didn't think that they were sinners. They thought that they were holy and that they didn't need repentance or forgiveness. So neither could they ever understand God's love. Jesus does not apologize or make excuses for the way he acts toward sinners, though. Nor does he tell the sinners that they must first become virtuous and clean in order to be received by God. He simply lets the Pharisees' words about him stand. Jesus receives sinners. No matter what they have done, no matter who they are, Jesus receives sinners. In fact, Jesus will only receive sinners. The healthy do not need a physician, but the sick, Jesus says. I have come to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. He doesn't reject the righteous because he is displeased with true piety or holiness, or because, heaven forbid, he prefers the wicked and godless people. The psalmist says, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in godless ways. The evil cannot stand in your presence." No, he doesn't receive those who are righteous because there are none who are righteous, none who are holy, none who don't need a physician, not even one, St. Paul says. Those who claim to be righteous and holy as the Pharisees did deceive themselves and make God into a liar. The truth is not in them, as we confess. Jesus receives sinners, but he does not welcome those who claim they are without sin. What good, after all, does baptism do when you will not receive it and use it as a sinner does? What good is the gospel for miserable sinners when you will not receive it as a miserable sinner? What good does the absolution do when you will not receive it as one who needs forgiveness, when you maintain your own righteousness and no need for his forgiveness? What good does the sacrament of the body and blood of the Lord do when you're not hungry and thirsty for righteousness? A life preserver is of no benefit to one who is not in danger of drowning. Jesus' cross and death and resurrection is of no value to one who doesn't believe he is a sinner who needs a Savior. Any of you who want to be clean in and of yourselves and do not seek to be washed by Christ must hear the word that Christ applies to you, which he also once spoke to Peter. If I do not wash you, you have no part in me. In short, if you do not want to admit being a poor lost sinner, then you're declaring yourself free of Christ, declaring that you don't need a Savior from sin and death. And to the one who thinks he is without sin, the word Jesus receives sinners is as it was for the older brother and for the Pharisees. It's an offense, a slight to imagined holiness. Finally, it is a word spoken only for others. To the one who is righteous, self-righteous, this becomes a thunderclap of law. It is not a word of gospel. But if, as a poor, miserable sinner, you hear this word, you can rejoice. For since Jesus receives sinners, so too does Jesus receive you. The shepherd has found his lost sheep and rejoiced. The woman has found her lost coin and celebrated. The father has received his lost son who was dead and is alive again. Jesus has sought for and he has found you. He has received you back with tears of joy, with open arms and a warm embrace. He has carried you to safety. He has brought you into the light of day. He has absolved you with his words. He has washed you of your sins. He has clothed you in his righteousness. And now he feeds you. What was lost is found. What was dead is alive. Come then. let us celebrate and rejoice together. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.